W228 EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Claudine Gay has resigned as Harvard's president following weeks of backlash over her congressional testimony. New York Representative Elise Stefanik questioned her about an increase in anti-Semitism on college campuses in response to the war between Israel and Hamas.
And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
Gay later faced plagiarism accusations.
These plagiarism claims arose soon after the fallout from that congressional hearing. And in fact, Claudine Gay was forced to make corrections to her dissertation. She studied at Harvard, received her PhD there.
That's CBS's Nicole Killian. Hamas is now stepping away from all ceasefire talks in the Middle East after one of its leaders was killed by an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. Correspondent Robert Berger.
According to Lebanese media, four people were killed in this blast in Beirut by an Israeli drone. Israel has not commented on this, but Israel has said since the beginning of the war on October 7th that it would target and kill the leaders of Hamas wherever they are.
We're learning more about a Japan Airlines crash that killed five people today in Tokyo. CBS's Lucy Kraft.
Japan Airlines Flight 516, arriving from Shin Chitose Airport in Hokkaido, was about to land at Tokyo's Haneda Airport when it collided with a Coast Guard cargo plane and caught fire. Horrified witnesses would describe a sea of flames. All the passengers managed to escape before the Airbus A350 quickly disintegrated.
In Maine, Donald Trump's appealing a decision now to keep him off the state's primary ballot in March over his role in the insurrection. The former president faces a similar challenge still in Colorado. A former high-profile attorney will stand trial in California.
A Los Angeles federal judge finds Tom Girardi competent to stand trial for allegedly embezzling millions of dollars from clients. His attorneys have been saying he suffers from dementia. Girardi is the attorney who famously worked with Erin Brockovich and more recently the estranged husband of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Erica Jane.
Some people call me cold, but that's not ice. It's diamonds.
Who for years while married flaunted an opulent lifestyle with him by her side. The 84-year-old is facing multiple counts of wire fraud, which carries 20 years in prison on each count. Matt Piper, CBS News.
And no better way to kick off the new year. Someone in Michigan bought last night's winning Powerball ticket worth $842 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met this morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers make a roster move. Hi, I'm Mike Clements with sports. After beating the Vikings on Sunday Night Football 33-10, the Packers have placed second-year wide receiver Samori Toure on IR and promoted Bo Melton to the 53-man roster. Melton had six catches for 105 yards against Minnesota, the first Packers receiver to have a game with 100 yards or more in receptions this season. I asked him after the game if he was able to find those open spots against the Vikings zone defense.
Yeah, you know, I was finding windows. You know, a lot of our receivers was finding windows. handles as well. They have a great defense, so we're just trying to go into certain defenses and try to exploit that.
College football, the Badgers fought but fell short against number 13th ranked LSU. The final in the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, 35-31 in favor of the Tigers. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It doesn't just happen because you say it's going to happen, right? You go into place, you say, well, we're going to tackle better, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the reality is it's a lot of hot air.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, maybe a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. Clouds to start Wednesday, then some sun for the afternoon, a high near 30. A mix of sun and clouds and upper 20s on Thursday. Clouds return for Friday, high temperatures in the mid-30s. Current temp is 30.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Tim minus Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Happy New Year 2024. Anya, did you bring in the new year with happiness or with sadness, with cake, with what?
Are those the three emotions I'm offered? Happiness, sadness, and cake?
And cake. And because cake is always something you can be short of saying, I'm always with cake.
Sure, sure. I rang in the new year with falling asleep before midnight on my futon in my living room, watching videos of how to set up aquariums for a type of fish called a pea puffer, which is the world's smallest puffer fish, because that's how exciting my life is right now, Tim. Thank you for asking.
I was going to say, boy, you had no problem putting that out there for the whole world to hear, though.
I'm salaried to do that. That's my job now, I think, is to just tell you guys
Anya,
about me.
Producer Anya, 25 years young, New Year's Eve, in bed before midnight. Well, I got to tell you what I did on New Year's.
Go for it.
I went to the first ever in my town, friends of the village I live in, gala bash. And this is the first ever. And they forgot that starting, which is largely caters to a group of people 50 and older, that starting a New Year's Eve party at 6:30, that by 10:30, you're going to have a real problem with the people, you know, and I'm a little bit over 50, just a little bit, but the people in the 60 and the 70, 80 range, the 10:30, they were out, man. So
I'm horrified to hear I would have fit in better with the old farts crowd than.
Well, I was saying, I brought my 21-year-old daughter, okay. And she said it about 8 o'clock, Dad, I'm like, I know I'm legal now, but I'm really too young to be here. So we let her go. Oh, Anya, but Johnny, yeah, Johnny will not be here tonight. He went to the NHL Winter Classic. We were talking about that. That's a hockey game that they have every year during, you know, right in January, and they have it in a football stadium. This year it was at the Seattle Seahawks. Johnny took his daughters to the game. On his way back, the weather decided to keep Johnny in his car for the rest of the evening. So Johnny, I know you're out there listening. Be careful, man. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Now, did the weather take Johnny out, or did Johnny maybe see the Zamboni do some cool trick tonight and think, you know what? This minivan of mine, I can move it like that. I can do an ice donut of some kind. Is that maybe more what happened?
We're going to have to talk to him to see if that's what happened. Johnny, you can call us. You know the number, 844-967-2789. But it is the new year. Last year, Johnny and I did a whole set of predictions. We'll kind of review that and come back to it. But this year, starting off with, you know, a guest. Peter, it's been a long time, Peter Green, since we've had you on the show, and we are excited. Peter Green, Curmudgeocation, his also posting that shows up in Forbes regularly, three education stories to watch in 2024. Peter Green, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me.
We love it. You're there. Curmudgeocation, Forbes, you're getting it out there. You, though, it's interesting. Three stories to watch and then a little bit of a hanger out there of something we should be taking advantage. Is education that boring that there are only three stories we need to worry about for the year?
Oh, no. There are many more, but three seemed like an easier number to work with.
Okay. So we've got three. But before that, though, you know, I think this is one, Peter. You see if you think about it. I think another education story to watch, though, and maybe this fits in with some of the things you do, but the attack on higher education, I think, will become even more intensified. And we largely, you know, we talk about K-12, but this is an education, capital E-D, Bust Ed Pencils, higher education. And for those, you know, like me who spend, you know, most of my waking hours in the higher education realm, watching what's been going on here, particularly if anybody's been focusing on since the disaster of the great three presidential testimonies in front of Congress, dealing with whether or not you're allowed to have free speech on campus. And if the speech we don't like, if you would punish students who spoke things that we don't like, but if we ever said that, we would say that you're against free speech. However, those presidents now, though, number two, Harvard president has resigned. And people would say, well, you know, it was because she was a disaster. Peter, I say the reason she resigned is that this was a coordinated, very calculated attack by, and I'll just point it out there, Mr. Christopher Rufo, one of the new college board of trustee members, Mr. Critical Race Theory himself, Mr. I am going to spend every waking hour trying to take away any type of gains that have been done in education. I don't know, Peter, what do you think about the Harvard president, Dr. Gay, stepping down?
Well, honestly, it's not a story I followed super closely because K-12 keeps my hands full, but it does fit in the larger, I mean, Rufo and his crowd have a narrative that they often go back to. And the idea is basically that in this, all those crazy Marxist commie lefties couldn't win out in the streets. So they went underground and took over all of the country's institutions, including higher ed. And from their position in higher ed, they've been indoctrinating young people ever since and convincing them to believe all these terrible anti-American Marxist ideas. So anything that, from their point of view, anything that will help destabilize higher ed and break it down and sort of take it back for good red-blooded Americans is a win.
But they're taking it back, and I'm glad you said that. What are they? Are they really taking it back from the leftist Marxist indoctrination machine, or what about that? Isn't that itself a myth, a kind of creature that doesn't really exist? And we talk about this because I say, you know, I know your focus is on K-12, which has also been the same thing. You know, we want to get rid of public schools. The idea here, though, is that if, and I've said this with either K-12 and higher education, if we were that darn good, if we were so good at ripping apart capitalism, if we were so good about creating a Marxist state, wouldn't we have done it by now if we were that powerful?
You'd think so. But you see this in a lot of the left and liberals simultaneously. They're super powerful and run this massive worldwide conspiracy that has been so effective. And at the same time, they're weak and terrible and awful and can't succeed at anything. But
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think for some people, it's a grift. It's a way to go after power. And there are some people who I think truly believe, and I think the reasoning goes something like this. Our children and our neighbors' children would not have grown up to believe all these awful liberal ideas on their own. Nobody naturally thinks that way. Therefore, somewhere there must be somebody who's indoctrinating them, who's talking them into it. And so they start looking for the possible culprits that have been converting good American children into these liberal lefties.
But I said it's just, I mean, the evidence isn't there. We're still a mega capitalist society that is, you know, there just isn't the destruction of, quote, the institution of, and I don't even know what it is, but I like the way you pointed out, though, Peter. It's a grift to recognize that more than anything. I mean, my guess would be an interesting story would be to kind of, you know, let's look at the bank accounts of these people who, you know, Mr. Rufo, please show us what you were making 8 to 9 years ago. Show us what you're making today. Throw and let us point it out there, because I think he's found, you know, and maybe this is the American way, the good old capitalist way, but he's found a great way to get lots of people to give him lots of money for him to say things that just makes him feel happy. And for the most part, though, is just mean and nasty. And on top of that, I look at it and go, like, he tries to come across as this principled, reasonable guy who's restoring, you know, in this one with the Harvard professor and the attacks on higher ed, it's restoring the meritocracy that has been stripped away by the leftists and this idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is going to be one of the things that you put in your piece, that he's just simply pointing out the leftist racism that he's trying to strip away and just let him do his work so that we can get back to plain old Martin Luther King colorblindness. You know, you're laughing. This is the part here. And I really wish that, you know, people like some of my neighbors who are cheering Christopher Rufo on, but sit there and go, you know, he's not really doing anything that's great other than providing an example to me, very much like Trump, very much an example of saying, you know what, I get to be a jerk right now because I'm in power. And because I'm in power, I'm going to continue to be a jerk. I'm going to act horribly to people. I'm going to break people down. I'm going to do whatever I can. And I'm going to do all of this in the name of, I'm just restoring things back to the natural. And I love that I'll put it out there. You know, the Martin Luther King, can't we all just judge each other by the soul in our bodies and not the skin on the outside of our bodies?
Yeah. I mean, that's the position. And Rufo is particularly impressive because he keeps pulling off the same trick, which is he announces very plainly, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And this is the trick I'm going to use to pull it off. And then he does it. And somehow, even though he's shown us behind the curtain, it works. It's magic.
It is. And maybe that is, if there are any kudos out there, is that it's not like he didn't tell us what he was going to do. As you pointed out there, Peter, he lays it out there and pretty much says, look, I'm going to punch you in the face with my left hand. And so we're surprised. Busted Pencils, more when we get back after the break.
.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, Peter Green, the commeducation writer in Forbes. His latest in Forbes, three education stories to watch in 2024. Took a little sidetrack on the first part of the show talking about our friend, Mr. Christopher Rufo. And I, yeah, friend, no, not really. But his success in taking down another person, and he's all over Twitter gloating on just the simple fact that he just helped America become even better again. Peter, though, three stories and something else to watch in 2024. Number one, okay, did you make these in order of what you think are going to be like the most persuasive, or is this just a... how do we jump in here?
Well, might as well just take them in the order they come.
Okay. Number one thing, 2024. And if you want to jump in too, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Call us and join Peter and me and Anya. Peter, number one, taxpayer funded religious schools. Okay. Break it apart for us first. Taxpayer-funded religious schools. What does that mean?
The Supreme Court has been bringing us closer and closer to this over the last couple of years. There are three cases that frequently get brought up: Trinity Lutheran, Espinoza, and Carson. Carson's the most recent. This is the case in Maine, where Maine has a kind of a unique, Maine and Vermont both have kind of a unique school voucher system, in that they already have a setup where if your community is too small to have their own school, you can have a voucher to send your child to the school of your choice. And their rule was you could send them to school. And Carson involved a lawsuit saying, the ultimate outcome of that was the Supreme Court saying, no, if you're going to give vouchers for public schools, for non-religious schools, then you have to allow the vouchers to be used for religious schools as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the most recent step forward we've taken towards this. Now we're looking at Oklahoma, where Oklahoma has proposed the first charter school that is overtly religious. So mm-hmm. in Oklahoma, St. Isidore's, actually a cyber charter school that would be run by the Catholic Church. Nobody's pretending that, I mean, there's no, as we've seen with some charters and some vouchers, there's no wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They've said, this is going to be a Catholic school. It's going to pursue the same goals as any other Catholic school, but it's going to be a public school, a public charter school funded by taxpayer money.
So we are going to take the money from the taxpayers, and we are outright, as you said, we're going to use it to, you know, we're going to teach some core subjects, but darn it, we're Catholics and we're not afraid to say it. And we're not afraid to make your kids, if they come to our school, take Catholic 101.
Well, your kids will take Catholic 101. And I think the other part of it, and the part that's troubling about this move, is not only will we take your kid and teach them Catholic 101, but we will decide whether or not we'll take your kid in the first place. Just this last week, we had the umpteenth story of a Catholic school firing a teacher who turned out to be gay. There are going to be students who admitted. We see this all the time with vouchers, but vouchers have always allowed a certain deniability. The whole idea of a voucher is we didn't give taxpayer money to the religious school. We gave the taxpayer money to the parents, and you know what they did with it then was their business. But with a charter school, with the setup in Oklahoma, we're going one step forward. There's no longer going to be any pretense. We're going to take this taxpayer money and we're going to give it directly to a private religious school.
Now, for somebody who's listening, I'm glad you broke that down too, because the vouchers, you say there was this potential of saying this. Yes, we know it's taxpayer money and we know we're doing this, but we know we're not giving it to religious schools, because I mean, prior to these Supreme Court cases, you just said there was this idea that, well, of course, we're going to say we're not funding religious schools because we know we're not supposed to do that. That's supposed to be some form of a wall of separation, or as I've had arguments with other people, like there is no separation of church and state in the Constitution. I'm like, I know there's no exact words like that, but read the first 10 amendments and go through that. And you tell me what that means. Read Thomas Jefferson's. But vouchers were this way, though, saying we're not using taxpayer money to fund religion. We're giving money to parents. They make the decision. Here, though, in Oklahoma, this is very specifically a Catholic charter school, which, quote, under the guise of charter schools is claiming to be some form of public. Therefore, they should be able to get public monies funded directly from the state of Oklahoma, from taxpayers, directly to that school. Somebody now, for me, and I think for Peter, is like, okay, maybe on the vouchers there was a technicality of you giving it to the parents, but here, this is, to me, this is direct state taxpayer money funding a religion. What could possibly go wrong with this, Peter?
Well, let me count the ways. First of all, it's worth noting that there are conservatives for whom this is a bad idea. One of the people who has sued to stop St. Isidore is the Republican Attorney General of Oklahoma, who says, if you do this, then you're going to open the doors to all sorts of religious schools, including, he points out, a slippery slope where Oklahoma taxpayers will have to pay for religious schools that aren't Christian.
Right. My goodness.
And do Oklahomans really want that?
who does anybody want a non-Christian school? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, a few. But yes, that's going to be part of the issue. And if you think past that point, you know, we're already seeing this argument being made in places like Iowa, where they got upset at a satanic temple set up in the state capitol. The solution that some people propose is, well, you have the government step in and decide who's a legitimate religion and who is not. You know, because as soon as you open the door to anybody who can open some kind of religious school and get taxpayer money, you're going to get everything. You're going to get all range of so-called religious schools. Next, you bring the government in to sort them out. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, right? Now, to me, how is that not perfectly crystal clear? And I think, as you said, the Republican Attorney General in Oklahoma sees this, but it's like this is the state mandating certain religions, and then, you know, rightfully so, being worried about, geez, what if some, you know, non-Christian gets in power and wants to ordain the Satan school? Yeah, we put all these things out there, and you think about this, how this continues, why people continue to fight for this is to recognize and somehow try to hide and say, but this isn't against freedom. This is the very assault on freedom. When we get back, more Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back with Peter Green.
I won't forget. This is the end for you, my friend.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Claudine Gay resigns as president of Harvard University after plagiarism allegations and backlash over anti-Semitism testimony on Capitol Hill. WBZ's Nicole Davis in Boston reports.
Harvard says Provost Dr. Alan Garber will step in to serve as interim president, Gay saying she'll stay on as a member of the faculty.
After an explosion in Beirut, officials with Hamas and Hezbollah say a top Hamas official and several others have been killed in a suspected Israeli airstrike. Israel is not commenting. Two planes collide at Tokyo's Haneda Airport and burst into flames. Everyone on the Japan Airlines passenger plane evacuated, but five people on a Japanese Coast Guard aircraft died. CBS's Lucy Kraft reports from Japan.
The incident has shaken Japan, which prides itself on aviation safety. Whether pilot error or control tower mistake caused the worst air accident in memory here, officials aren't saying yet.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Respiratory viruses are on the rise. Officials say wastewater analysis shows more COVID-19 in the environment than this time last year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says respiratory illnesses may be rising because fewer people are getting vaccinated. Health officials expect to see numbers rise even higher after Christmas and New Year's celebrations. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increases last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. Combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying 7.9% in sales taxes, and the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
If I could be you,
and you could be me
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, maybe a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. Clouds to start Wednesday, then some sun for the afternoon, a high near 30. A mix of sun and clouds and upper 20s on Thursday. Clouds return for Friday, high temperatures in the mid-30s. Right now, it's 31.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
day before the American people must get done.
The memo says we gotta work to make the facts.
Busted Pencils, fully led in education talk, educated educators talking education, and of course the best bumper music out there. A little bit of Anti-Flag, Peter. I know you're jamming to some Anti-Flag out there. It's our guest, Peter Green, his piece in Forbes, Three Education Stories to Watch in 2024. We just finished taxpayer-funded religious schools. Before we move on to the next one, though, Peter, we got a caller, Mark. Mark from the SAC is on the line. Mark, what's happening? Thoughts on your – you got a prediction or you just want to feed to the conversation? Mark, what's happening? Well,
I just want to feed to the conversation. And believe it or not, I think there's kind of – there's a subtle link. And maybe it's too subtle and maybe I'm misreading. I think – maybe I'm misinterpreting that, that for Harvard, as I understand it from – some of my readings, that the Puritans initially established Harvard as a Orthodox Christian university to teach, you know, to teach their the young men, and I say young men, you know, because that's all they wanted going there, and the importance of reading Greek and Hebrew so they get a proper Orthodox interpretation of the Bible opposition to the Whore of Babylon church, that of course was a Catholic church, so they considered it. And it's fascinating to me now that a Catholic church in Oklahoma, which I don't know that it is actually a majority Catholic state, is you know, fostering this, because up until a few decades ago, I can remember a lot of hostility in the Pentecostal fundamentalist churches against Catholicism. You know, they considered it, you know, the Church of Satan, more or less, and that even though that is ridiculous, you know, on the face of it, they didn't even consider Catholics Christians. You know, that I had heard that spoken to me directly, that, you know, Catholics aren't Christians, and I said, well, what are they? Mm-hmm. Got no real answer to that, and it just is, but we just can't have the same, because there is no, supposed to be no recognized religion in this country. Contrary to what, you know, Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House, apparently forgot when he took his oath of office. The oath of office he took said there are no religious tests in this country. So that the state should not be funding an overt religious institution. I mean, that it clearly lends support to tacit support to a particular religion, and should not be happening.
You know what, Mark, though, too, and Peter, jump in here, because and Mark's point here, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, having grown up a Catholic and, you know, not sure where I'm at today, but knowing this, I remember having conversations, and I was very shocked the one time when I found out from one of my friends that they didn't consider me a Christian because I was Catholic, and I was just kind of like, well, what do you think I am? They're like, you're Catholic. That's what you are. You're not a Christian. Yeah, you know, and I would just.
You don't have to go back decades to find that.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, and because there aren't very many. Well, there's a few decades to go back for me. But I mean, thinking about Mark's point here, isn't that potentially too? And maybe that is some of the opposition from some of the right that is pushing on this, of recognizing, OK, wait a minute. If we're going to recognize religious public schools, hold on a minute. What are we doing recognizing a Catholic school first? Because the last I checked is, you know, as Mark says, from the puritanical standpoint, I mean, Catholic, that's an anti-religion.
No question about it. It'll come up eventually. I think right now what you're seeing is that the Catholic Church is by far, first, they've already got the educational infrastructure in place. And second of all, they're a powerful lobbying machine in terms of pushing vouchers and allowing this sort of thing to happen. But yeah, sooner or later, that conversation is going to happen in public instead of in private.
Well, and that's what we said, Mark. Really appreciate the call, Mark, from the SAC, because yeah, this is what's going to happen. And we sit there and go, there's a, you know, as much as, you know, there's something about going, what are you, anti-God? Are you anti-peace? Are you No, I'm anti the government making that decision. I'm anti the government. I'm anti-government. I'm a freedom-loving American, Peter Green. I don't want the government telling me what to believe, what to worship. I still hold true to that whole freedom principle. All right, though, let's go. School discrimination backlash, something to watch in 2024. What are you talking about here, Peter?
Well, it comes right out of the growth of publicly funded religious schools, both voucher and potentially more regular public schools. I think people are becoming increasingly aware that one of the things that caused resistance to vouchers among many of the private schools that got them was the fear of government strings being attached. And what we've seen is most voucher laws are now passed with very explicit hands-off saying that if the school is taking government money, that doesn't mean the government can tell them what to do, what to teach, how to teach, can't affect their admissions policies. And what we're seeing is people are starting to look and see some of the policies that are out there. Illinois in particular, I want to point out, had a voucher law that weirdly enough had an expiration date. So they had till the end of 2023 to renew that voucher program, and they didn't do it, in part because folks uncovered and publicized the level of discrimination that was going on. Your child cannot attend this school unless somebody in the family is a born again Christian. Your child cannot attend this school if you indulge in certain inappropriate lifestyles. Your child cannot attend this school if they or anybody in the family is LGBTQ. In Pennsylvania, some folks have uncovered some of the same thing. In Pennsylvania, there's a school that says we reserve the right to reject any time for any reason, and we also reserve the right to not have to explain it to you.
I was going to say that. There's also the we reserve the right to reject you for no gosh darn reason other than the fact that we want to reject you.
Yes. And I think a lot of that has gone under the radar because when you tell people, yeah, your dollars are going to support a school that reserves the right to reject your kid for any reason, they don't believe that's real. I think it's slowly starting to sink in and will continue.
Well, not my kid, Peter, your kid, not my kid.
Well, I think I mean, people don't know that it could be any kid.
No, I know. And that's what you're getting to. And so this potential of hope, you know, and maybe I see this as good backlash, and this is a good story to watch in 2024 because, some people are going, it's like, wait a minute. I didn't realize that you were talking about my kid, and starting to recognize and go, hey, there is, you know, that whole public school, we take them all, we work with them all. You as a member of all have every right and obligation to come here. There's something about freedom for all that, boy, that might be worth protecting. Peter, let's move on though to DEI is the new CRT. What is with all these acronyms? You know, I mean, Johnny and I, we like PB&J.
There's probably something wrong with it.
Okay, but DEI is going to replace CRT in 2024. What do you mean?
DEI, which refers to I never get my initials right either, but diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. This makes a better target CRT ever did, because while Rufo and his crew were successful in redefining critical race theory to mean anything that conservatives don't like, to go out and actually attack it became difficult because it, particularly in K-12, say and not really find it.
There wasn't there. My goodness, there was no CRT in K-12 schools. So, yeah, we can't attack what's not there, but we can attack because, as you say, very much, very pointedly, diversity, equity, and inclusion has largely, yeah, over the past 20 years, has taken a pretty big front row in institutions of saying, you know, what is your diversity, equity, and inclusion commitments? What are your clauses as you're becoming a candidate for a job at this place? What are your thoughts on diversity, equity, and inclusion? We have careers where people are, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion specialists. And so for you pointing this out and saying, what a better target than critical race theory, because DEI is everywhere.
It is everywhere. And because it's everywhere, it's even easier to find places where it's being done very badly and to hold those up as examples to kind of use them to paint with a broad brush all of the programs that are out there. And Chris Rufo, as is his style, has already announced that he will use this particular tactic, and he is going to target this particular type of program and use it to undermine certain initiatives on the left. And I think we can expect to see more and more of that in the coming year.
And can I just jump in too, Tim?
Yeah, Anya, jump in. Yes.
You had this statement at the beginning, like, why do we always go with these acronyms? I think it's important to know, you know, as we move from CRT to DEI, folks who are against these things are using the acronym, because if you came out and actually said what you were against, it would be way too clear what this is about. Like, saying, oh, I'm against DEI is a meaningless statement, but actually having the something I can't say on air to say, oh, I'm against diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's like you're against those things. Yes. It's the same reason we changed Black Lives Matter to BLM. No one wanted to say, well, I don't think Black Lives Matter. They wanted to say, well, I don't like BLM, because that's a meaningless statement. It's like, we can just shorten things until they don't matter anymore. Well, like anti-fascist, you had to take off one of those syllables. So now it's I'm against Antifa, so that you don't have to walk down the street saying I'm against anti-fascism. You're against anti-fascism. Wait,
you're against people who are against fascism,
which
okay,
makes you.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can do that math.
Makes you good point, though, Anya.
And as Rufo himself has explained, that is very much his technique, to take the language, change the language, reframe the language in a way that is hard to defend, but which puts forth his particular agenda.
Cool. But I'm glad he's open about it.
He is, though, and Anya, and that's what he said. You know, I mean, this guy, he tells you he's going to punch you, and then he punches you.
I believe you now when you said that. I wasn't sure what you meant. Now I'm like, you know what? I think he did tell me he was going to punch me with his left hand. Okay.
And he does it. So, but yeah, it's like diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then you start to go, it's like, well, why am I against diversity, unless, you know, you say, come on, look, I don't like different people. I don't believe in equity. And my goodness, there are lots of people who should be excluded. To say that is, some people might go, well, I don't want to say that out loud, but I can definitely be against DEI.
That's
because
right.
especially if DEI was linked to CRT, because we know what CRT was, even though we don't. Right. I mean that CRT was really bad.
It was bad stuff.
I mean, there were people out there talking about critically thinking about racism and how racism is bad. And wait, racism is never mind, Peter. My God, you get me all hooked on on these words. Okay, but I know we're coming up here, getting close. One thing, though, Peter, I'm concerned about, you said something to watch, not necessarily a 2024, but that education in 2024, particularly in the presidential election, you think is going to be a kind of a minor contributor.
We keep waiting for education to be a big player in presidential campaigns. I don't think this is the year either.
Well, they must not have got the memo that Busted Pencil says that education is the top number one story all the time, every time. Peter Green, where can we find your work? We know Forbes, curmudgeducation.com.
Curmudgeducation, blogspot.com. Forbes.com. You can find me at the Bucks County Beacon, which is a Pennsylvania outfit that's worth reading, not just for me, but for other folks, and occasionally at the Progressive, too.
Awesome. Peter Green, thank you for busting pencils. More when we get back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Blue busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest on the show was Peter Green, writer in Forbes, CurmudgeEducationBlogspot.com. Three education stories to watch in 2024. Taxpayer-funded religious schools, school discrimination backlash, and DEI is the new CRT. Barely got in there. Anya, I mean, good stuff, but you know, I was hitting Peter at this. He's seeing education in the presidential election as being not a big deal. Am I upset because he's picking on education, or do I think it's going to be a big, I think it's a, maybe this is my problem. Even if somebody, quote, isn't mentioning it, to me, it's always related to education.
Sure, yeah, or it should be. I think the word that keeps falling away from these discussions about the current presidential run is the word should. Like, yeah, education should be the word on every candidate's lips now and every week and every week from here until November, but it's not. Like, I struggle kind of right now to find what this current election even is about. Like, is it about healthcare? Is it about, it's kind of just about the theory of what's going to happen with Trump right now, but it should be, among many things, education. Yeah, one of the
Thank you for that, because maybe I think, yeah, that's more like it is that what is this election about really?
Yeah.
Other than a personality largely, which we can't stand. It's not going to be one on the quote issues. Depending on what issue you have, because, you know, largely we know what the issues are and who's going to be for this issue and who's going to be against that issue. When it comes, though, you know, to education, it's just this whole idea, though, of saying, OK, you know, so the future of climate, you know, people are like, well, yeah, that's not an wait. We have to learn about the climate. You know, becoming a climate scientist means you were involved in an educational endeavor. To understand systemic historical racism requires that you learn all of this stuff you learn in schools. And so the passion, you know, that we try to do here every week is to say, look, this stuff, you know, particularly if you're thinking about educating 89% of the population, this stuff matters, you know, and potentially even when we totally disagree with Moms for Liberty, Chris Rufo's and all these people, the fact that they're bringing a lot of attention to things that they don't like schools doing points out for me the number one issue here, which is schools can be or could be an incredibly powerful place for massive systemic change in a direction that favors the masses.
See, Tim, you're leaving off that S word, the FCC approved S word again, which is should. The schools okay. should be a powerhouse for these things. We should be, and we're not. And it's because, I mean, not to make this political, but it's almost like it benefits someone or someone's for our kids to not be that smart, frankly. And it's sad to watch that be. And that's why I worry about, like, what is the point of the current run? Some of the point, like from DeSantis and folks, is, hey, we should expand this really dumb theory on education to the whole nation where you don't get to say certain words or talk about certain topics. That's what they think this should look like. And maybe we should be more vocal about it not looking like that. Obviously, we are on busted pencils, but everybody right. else.
When you're talking about that word that used to mean happy that the left stole. And
I guess so.
Now,
yes.
Yeah.
Made, no.
made that word about, you know, sex. And we can't do that. Actually,
yeah,
Peter
totally.
Green and go to his curmudgeducationblogspot.com. He actually has a post that's pretty darn interesting that I was going to talk to him about here, where he kind of goes through all of the books that have been banned in Florida because of Don't Say Gay.
I just did that too on Maggie's show. I went through a lot of books and why they got banned, and it's ridiculous. It really will be like the word gay appears once in 900 pages. It has to leave.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And guess what happens now too on this? And sadly, it has to go this way. But at some point, somebody's going to go, but I didn't want that book banned.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait. No, that wasn't supposed to be on the list. It's gone too far now. And sadly, though, this is what we tried to tell you from the beginning of book banning, is that when you make any decision to ban any book, your book will get on the list at some point in time.
That's so
and
correct.
You will... You know, and so we might not like the books we're defending, but we defend them because if not, somebody's going to find my books and put them in the hot seat. And that is what's now going to happen with book banning. Oh, my God. I think about this, though. But yeah, so my commitment, and I know Johnny and I know Anya, though, is that if you're listening to Busted Pencils in 2024, our projection is that on this show, education will ring solid throughout all of 2024. It will be the issue that we talk about all the time on this show, because we said, guess what? When it comes to freedom, when it comes to the ability to make wholesale change and lift full communities in a direction that can empower people for the positive, there just is no other institution like formal public education that has that ability to do good on you. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly it.
You know, and as you said, I mean, and the attacks on public education, while maybe, you know, Peter's right, education might not be, quote, a big story going into the 2024 presidential race, the attack on education will continue to be a horrible, nonstop, constant story. And I guess maybe that's what we're saying here with Busted Pencils, is every week we're going to be here because we know that book banners will not stop. We know for a fact that trying to fund my religious school by somebody will take precedence, will move forward in a direction that is unforgivable. All these things. It's Busted Pencils.
Want more Busted Pencils?
It's follow us on Facebook. Back after the next week.
Or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
From life. Piney Lodge, and Carson Park. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown.
And all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.